Good afternoon, everyone. Jesus loves Mondays after Lazarus weekends. What a great Lazarus weekend we had, too. Some people really got set free, and I'm very excited about that. I'm going to speak something to you that the Lord was just speaking to me about last night, and so I reckon read that scripture. That when the angel was comforting Matthew about Mary being pregnant, he said that who she was pregnant with was one who was going to come and save his people from their sins. And that's what Jesus has come to do. Because you remember, it's like sin that caused this enmity between us and God as a result of the fall. God wasn't our enemy, but we were at enmity with him, the scripture says. And so there was this separation. Yet God had a dream for us. He created us with a dream in heart, a dream in mind. We were chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ. And that was always his dream, that we would be in union with his Son, sharing in everything that the Son gets to enjoy, in fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, possessing everything that he has and everything, all that he gets to participate in. So to participate in the Son's intimate fellowship with the Father and the Spirit, but also the Son's walk, godliness, godly life, before the Father and the Holy Spirit. And sin interrupted that. So the great corrupter is sin. And the word sin, we know, is a word, the word in the original language is harmatia. And it means literally to miss the mark. It was an archery term. And so the idea was that if somebody stood before a target, and then they would shoot the arrow and always miss the mark. I don't deer hunt. Mary had a little lamb which was given her to keep until he joined the CEC and died from lack of sleep. And so I had to give up things like deer hunting. And I learned how to deer hunt when I moved here, but I'd hunted a lot with Bill. But I wanted to try bow hunting. And I never even shot an arrow at a deer, but I did practice. And I know what it means to miss the mark. Because I put it in my backyard, and I was just grateful I didn't kill any of my neighbors or kids riding by on a bicycle or something. But it means to try your best, but you're just missing the mark. And so the sin, ultimately sin flows from humanity thinking they can be good and godly apart from God. And no matter what you do, you're going to miss the mark. And then there's this thing, that was the attitude of the fall. And as a result of it, this thing entered our humanity called the law of sin. It's like a virus, and we're enslaved to it. And so Jesus came to set us free from that reign of sin. So make it practical. Jesus came to set me free from being grouchy. Jesus came to set me free from thoughts of hatred. Jesus came to set me free from thoughts of revenge. Jesus came to set me free from criticalness. Jesus came to set me free from complaining. We say that a lot. Jesus came to set me free from impatience. Jesus came to set me free from addictions. Jesus came and set me free from self-rejection. Jesus came and set me free from self-centeredness. Jesus came and set me free from bursts of anger. Jesus came to set me free from being irritated and being irritable. Jesus came and set me free from deception. All this go on and on. And Jesus came to set you free from lust or greed or pride or controlling, harsh words, all those kind of things. Because those are killers. The wages of sin is death. Emotional, spiritual death. And so he came to deliver us from that so he could restore us to the original vision. And his solution was, you've heard me say this before, but it's just the simplicity and the genius of the gospel so blows me away. I'll be talking about this ad nauseum until the day I die. His solution was I had to have not just what I had done paid for, but the person that I had become needed to be done away with without losing me. Well, how is that possible? You understand? He was already in love with you. He knew you before you were ever born. It's called the foreknowledge of God. He was already in love with you. That's why he didn't start all over again with Adam and Eve like this. I'm going to wipe them out, because we were already inside them. We were already in Adam's loins. So he knew you. He loved you. He didn't know you have a relationship with you yet, but he saw you. So he was not going to give up on that. So there had to be a way. The solution to the sin, the fall, was death and resurrection. Because you had to die, because the wages of sin is death. But how could he kill you, the old you, the slave to sin you, and yet still have you? And the only way for that to happen is for Christ to clothe himself in humanity and to become you, and took all of our sin in himself as if he were you, and died paying for your sins as if he were you, and crucified you as if he were you, and buried the old you as if he were you, and then raised you up in union with him as if he were you. Not that you're Christ, but you're now sharing his life, resurrected, and that's what makes you a new creation. So now you have his capacity to not be grumpy, grouchy. You know, you have all those other things we said. You're now connected to him. And so you're living now by him. That's why it says in Romans 5, 10, we talked about this weekend a lot, for we're reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved in his life. Every day saving me from what I had become so that I don't act that out again. And it happens in Christ. So you with me? So this is what, let me do this. That way I won't be reading 1 Corinthians from the Gospel of John. There we go. So this is what Romans 6 is all about. And I trust your Romans 6 looks like that Romans 6, or you haven't been in Romans 6 very much. Probably the most important chapter in the Bible. I said that about all the chapters, but this is probably the most important chapter in the Bible. Do you not know that you who died to sin should no longer live in it? Or do you not know that all of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So when did I die to sin? When he died, because I was placed in him. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Newness of life. A whole new self. You know, I've heard people, Livy used to say this, about Reeves men, as her family, Reeves, R-I-V-E-S, that Reeves men could be kind of gruff, but they just got better, gentler as they got older. And I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, men particularly, just get more sensitive and gentle as they get older. And they were to be talking about Christian guys. I'm thinking, that's a sad testimony. Now, we do walk through transformation process, but you understand, but the moment you became a Christian, you no longer had to live like the old self. You were not that old self anymore. It's not just over time you got better because you got too old to be nasty. You didn't have enough energy to be mean anymore. And you felt guilty about it. It's because you're a different person, a whole new creation. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. In union with his death, in union with his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body would no longer be a slave to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. And then this is verse 10 and 11. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. Good. But the life that he lives to God. The death that he died to sin, not just for sin. He died to sin. Sin has no more power over him because he took on all our sin. He became your sin. He became your grumpiness. He became your lusting. He became your dishonesty. He became your nastiness. He became your orneriness. He became your anger. He became your fear. He became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took all that was wrong about you so that you might be all that's right about him. That's what that verse is saying. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he's living to God. Even so, therefore, that's true about him, it's true about you, because you were in him when he died and rose again. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but living to God. How? In Christ Jesus. Therefore, he says, in light of that, and this is the language, stop letting sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Stop presenting the members of your body to sin. In other words, stop presenting your tongue to being nasty, mean, rude, unkind to people. Stop presenting your mind to anger, your emotions to frustration and disappointment and complaining and all that stuff. Stop presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your bodies as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall no longer be master over you, for you are no longer under the law, In other words, trying to do it yourself, but you're under grace.
Wow.
Because you're in Christ, you're under grace. It's a free gift. Victory is a free gift. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ. This is a place from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to hear Paul's language. And then I'm gonna get, all this is introductory. Then there's a short, like, 90-second sermon. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ. What? In the sight of God. Huh? You mean you speak in Christ? What does that mean? He said, he's saying, I only speak in light of my union with Christ. So I'm speaking from Christ. You with me? And Christ doesn't say unkind things. Christ doesn't complain. All those kind of stuff. You know, we talked about this weekend, 1 Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 says, and he's taken captivity captive. He took on your captivity to whatever the sin might be, or sins might be. He took all that, and he made it captive, so that you're no longer captive to it. He said, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Stop letting sin reign in your mortal bodies, in your mind, in your mouth, in your attitude, in your emotions. It's all part of your mortality. Stop presenting your members as sin, the sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present your members. Instead, when you get tempted, you surrender to the one in that moment, to the one who doesn't. But, and then there are places throughout the New Testament, he says, well, I speak in Christ, you know, I fellowship in Christ, I work in Christ, I greet people in Christ, I love in Christ, on and on, like in Christ. So all that's to say this. What do you do when you get tempted? I mean, what's your game plan? I mean, you got to have a game plan, right? So when the desire to complain rises up in you, what's the game plan? Like, you count to 10, you gripe on the inside but don't complain on the outside, that's not victory. Or, you know what I'm saying? You're like, you don't get your way, and so you grin on the outside, but you're bearing it on the inside. That's not freedom. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we know the fact that you died to sin because Christ did, and therefore you were in Christ and you died to sin, and he took your captivity captive, right? So you died to sin. We know that. Settle that. You don't have to every time you get tempted to go, I died to sin. Just know that you died to sin. Make that part of your consciousness. Memorize those verses. Contemplate on them. But Paul said he would speak in Christ, you would do this in Christ, whatever in Christ. And so you're in union with Christ. And so when you get tempted to complain, I'm going to give you a really deep spiritual thing. You say no. Because you're in Christ. You're one with him. And it's you and him as one saying no. Now what I like to do, I just like, in Christ, no. I'm reminding myself that I'm not doing this by willpower. I'm in union with Christ. And we're saying no. I can say no because he said no. You know? You know, often Jesus will speak to me and says, you know, I'm not a complainer. And I go, okay, no. To sin. No. And I've presented my members to Jesus, my mouth to Jesus, my attitude to Jesus in that moment. And I will walk it out. It's not any more complicated than that. Taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you don't start where you start the thought. The thought. If a person steals something, it's because they thought it first. That's your members. You're like, well, no, in Christ, no. That's not me again trying to strong will, not resist it, willpower. That won't work. I'm decreeing that I'm in union with Christ and he's taking captivity captive. I'm dead to Christ. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to him. And in Christ, no. Okay? Maybe that's helpful. Or maybe when you're walking in a situation, like you go, Jesus says to me, like, that's the most important person that's ever stood in front of you, and I want you to tell them that you love them in Christ, in the own heart, in Christ, yes. Those are all, the no's and the surrenders are just words of, the no and the yes are just words of surrender. In Christ, yes. And in a good southern language, y'all go tell them you love him. Who's y'all? You and Jesus, one, because he's going to speak through you. Okay? All righty. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.